Today on Personalities at Carey in episode 63, we're talking with Zoe Gruparis. Zoe was a history major and has a background in some social work and nonprofits. Zoe interned at Republic Services here in Phoenix in summer 2018. She's concentrating in supply chain management and business analytics at WP Carey. Let us know more in our conversation with Zoe Gruparis.
Hello everyone, welcome to Personalities at Carey. This is episode number 63. And today we have with us Zoe Gruparis. Hi Zoe, say hi to our listeners.
Hey Shoa, hey everyone.
Zoe, let's get started. We'll ask you a few questions. The first one being, tell us about your background, where you come from, what you did before coming to the MBA program, and what brought you to do your MBA.
Yeah, so before this, I was working at a foreign policy think tank in Chicago. I was working as a program officer, specifically on our global food and kind of women's issues. And through that, one of the big things I really loved being able to do was work with our corporate partners. We worked on this big event every year called the Global Food Security Symposium. And through that, just looked at kind of issues related to food security around the world. And a lot of our corporate partners through that kind of just opened my eyes to the fact that you could have this really positive impact through business. And that is honestly what sparked my interest to come back to school. I'm originally from Chicago, never thought I was going to live in Arizona. I was kind of didn't think I would ever live on the West Coast. But through this, decided I wanted to go back and found ASU and learned about the forward focus opportunity. So I think that kind of drove it. But overall, I wanted to come back and kind of get some more tangible skills to go to the other side, as it were.
Okay. What's your undergrad degree in?
Yeah, so I went to Boston College for my undergrad and did a dual major in international studies and history.
Okay.
Neither of which has anything to do with business. So yes, it was a very, very liberal arts background. But I really enjoyed it. I loved living in Boston, and I really enjoyed like being a history nerd for a couple of years and getting to learn all sorts of random facts that now only come out on trivia.
Oh, do you participate in a lot of trivia?
Not as much anymore, but we played a couple of it first year, and then usually it's just like random things that I'll be able to pull out from random facts.
So, how'd you know that? Oh, I'm a history major.
I'm a history major. Yep. No, my family. Yeah, that's the one thing I'm good at is I can do dates. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So how has your experience been like at WP Carey? Anything that has stood out to you, exceeded your expectations?
I think a couple of things about WPC has just been phenomenal. I think first and foremost, it's just been our classmates. It's been a great experience to get to hang out with all of them, get to know them, and just learn everyone's story and where they come from. I think that's really fascinating given how diverse our backgrounds are and how many walks of life we all come from. And even just through like this has been really cool to get a little bit more insight into kind of what people are doing and who they are behind the outside of the classroom, really. And I think the other thing is I have been pleasantly surprised with Arizona, just in general, the weather and what we're all able to do here. I think the level of activity and just being able to be outside has been a nice change from Chicago, where the polar vortex is still a term that we throw around, and it terrifies me every time.
Does that happen every year, or is it every few years?
It's every few years. Okay. Though I've only heard that specific term twice. Okay. Most years, I would say, it's just a normal winter. But the whole concept of it being the air being piped down directly from one of the upper levels of the atmosphere is what I think gives it that specific terminology.
Okay. Anything else apart from the people, the curriculum that has stood out in terms of, say, career services, executive connections, clubs, any events that we have on campus?
Yeah, so I think, small plug for Net Impact, I think that's been a really exciting part of my experience at Carey, at least, has been to be part of that organization, get to shape it a little bit, and get to connect with students both at WP Carey as well as in other parts of ASU that are passionate about sustainability, about social issues, about having a positive impact through their professional career. I think the other piece of that is the curriculum has really evolved since we started, and it's been an exciting evolution in that we now have a lot more flexibility in what we're able to do, and it's a lot more responsive to student needs. I think a huge case in point that I've seen is the rise of the international programming and just the opportunity for our students to even go abroad was something we didn't have 18 months ago. So that's been, I think, one of my highlights, at least, is getting to work on that and see where that will land after this and continue on.
So I did talk with Jen a little bit earlier, so I will ask you a little bit more about that. Because you championed the whole thing.
We just had fun. We really just had fun with it. And it was more, we wanted to travel ourselves and figured why not make it part of the curriculum.
Yeah, and I met a few interns over the summer from other schools and they were all like, we went here, we went there. And so I was thinking, like, don't we have this opportunity at our school? And then good thing that we do now.
Yeah, hopefully.
Also, when you came to school, did you have an idea of what concentrations you were going to take, or is that something that evolved over the course of the last year and a half?
For me, it certainly evolved. I came in knowing that I was interested in supply chain. A good chunk of my job prior to this had been logistics, event logistics related, event planning, and I enjoyed aspects of that. So I thought supply chain might be an interesting connection to it. There was a small element of that of overlap. So I knew that. I experimented a little bit with marketing after Professor Morales' class, which I had really enjoyed, and thought that could be a nice dovetail. I think speaking with Career Services a little bit as well, they had encouraged a dual supply chain and marketing potentially if you were interested in product management, because you would really be able to fully understand that product life cycle from inception to how does it get to the final customer. Decided marketing was probably not where I wanted to stay, but instead picked up BA as a second one. And that has surprisingly been, I think, one of my favorite parts of this experience. I think it's an incredibly applicable concentration and one that I feel most of our classmates will probably use a lot of those skills much more than some of the others that we learn here. So I would highly encourage BA. And I think that was eye-opening to me that I even enjoyed that. I've never really would have thought about that before an MBA.
And so after all the classes that you've taken so far, do you find yourself find one to be your favorite? Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so I think a couple stand out. I think my overall favorite is almost certainly decision modeling with Byers last spring. I think that class is I think that class is phenomenal. The way that Byers teaches it, the clear forethought that he's put into all of it, how responsive he is to us, and how engaging he is, and how much he makes it about the student experience, I think is really fun. So I think DMOD's definitely one of, if not the best class I've taken, and I think closely followed by Professor Hilgeist's class. I think that's also just super applicable.
Managerial
accounting. I think it's just incredibly applicable. I certainly used some of those principles this summer, so I think those two were my favorites.
What was your experience getting the internship last year?
Yeah, so mine was a little interesting. I started in the fall, and I think like many of our supply chain peers, you're told that a lot of the heavy recruiting occurs early on in the year, and so you go through that really, I would say, almost frenzied September, October timeframe. And I initially turned down an internship offer in the fall that I didn't think was the right fit and was glad to do so. So when I returned, I was pretty cognizant that I wanted to do one of two things. I was either looking at staying in Phoenix with the potential of a long-term opportunity or finding something that would be very much summer only. So for me, I think it came down to a couple of factors. I think I wanted to establish if the internship was kind of a precursor to a full-time opportunity, or if I was seeing it more as a very specific period of time and that's kind of a one-and-done situation. So for that, I was pursuing kind of two primary avenues, one through Career Services, and ultimately got the internship I took through company networking night in February. And that was a very quick process. It was CNN happened. I think I had a phone interview a week later. A week later it was spring break and I had in-person interviews. And then the last half of spring break, I was going in and out of service and the recruiter was on the phone trying to say, hey, you got the job. And I was like, that's great. I'll call you back when I have service again. So for that, I wound up at Republic Services, and I was in their business transformation team, and not supply chain related, mm-hmm. not really even BA related, but for that organization, it's a team that's sits cross-functionally mm-hmm. and is tasked with owning the process of change management, which is an odd way to phrase it, but it's the best description I've ever come across for it. The way that we think about it is when the company is going through significant strategic initiatives or changes, they want to ensure that the process is being handled appropriately, that they're kind of, everyone is thinking through the contingencies, what the risks are, that they're all being asked the same questions, mm-hmm. that the same level of rigor is applied to reviewing each of these cases, that it's not just someone's pet project that's being pushed through, but rather there is buy-in from every corner of the company, and that when a particular department or team is being called on to engage in that process, they have bought off on it as well, and they're not just being told, but they're being brought in and helping to plan that. So that's been really, that was much different than anything I would have thought. But it was really, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought the team was great. It was a really interesting insight into how a company thinks about some of those bigger strategy pieces, and how when you have 35,000 people spread across the country, how do you roll out some of these enterprise-wide initiatives, and mm-hmm. what are the steps that you need to think through? So that was really exciting. I have no regrets about taking that. The other option was actually in the Bay, but mm-hmm. I think this was certainly the right opportunity to stay in Phoenix. So I loved Republic, came back, and that's actually where I'll be returning in the summer, I think.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Can you tell us a little bit about your particular role during the internship and what project you worked on?
Yeah, so my particular role was on our BTO team. And within that, I was their first intern ever for that team, as well as across the organization. We only had, I want to say, a dozen interns in that range between undergraduate and graduate level. So I specifically worked on kind of a couple of different projects. I think my overarching one is they were trying to assess across this portfolio of strategic initiatives. They've probably got about 15 to 20 that they were looking at, trying to understand what is our resource utilization, specifically from a headcount perspective. So trying to understand, we have all of these different projects. We know that we need X amount of people to do this work. Who do we have currently available to do it? And is that enough? Or do we need to hire more folks? And that was kind of what I dove into, is understanding how many were being asked, how many we currently had available, and what that kind of delta was. And from there, making recommendations out to say, okay, do we hire? Is this a temp person? Is this a contractor? Is this a full-time hire that we should be doing? Or are there other pieces too? And trying to get a little bit of information from various departments. Are there folks that we can shuffle around? Or are there other things that just the company isn't aware of that are maybe more department-level initiatives? So that was, I think, the big overarching task. I also worked quite a bit on we were rolling out a recycling project, so a recycling campaign across the country that they were testing in a few different national markets, getting to work with that as well, and trying to work with like what were marketing metrics that we wanted to track, what were kind of key features from a digital, from a print side. So yeah, it was kind of really cool to sit in both spaces and get a little bit of insight into them.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit about your background, your past. Mm-hmm. I'll ask a few questions about your personal likes.
Yeah.
Can you start off with, if you have some time, some leisure time, what do you do? What are your hobbies?
Mm-hmm. So a couple of my big hobbies, I would say I really enjoy cooking. Mm-hmm. It just relaxes me. I enjoy finding just some random recipe and getting in the kitchen. Enjoy cooking for me and for friends and just doing that. I think the other big one is I love to read. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been a big hobby that I've been able to pick up again now that have a little more time.
Good. So what's your favorite book or author or book series?
Yeah, so read Game of Thrones is great right now. Mm-hmm. That was fun to read before the series all started. I probably am a little more, I don't really have a favorite book.
Okay.
I know.
You
it's
pick
weird.
Up anything and you
yeah, I'm not study. Picky about them usually. I prefer either like a murder mystery typically or something of that nature. But I really have no, yeah, I'm not picky about them.
You like a lot of fiction or nonfiction stuff?
I tend towards fiction.
Okay.
And then, but nonfiction has strangely been growing on my list, I think, a little bit more recently. So mm-hmm. a couple of those, yeah, I think, especially kind of more social histories or social commentaries, I find really fascinating when they look at kind of the urban and rural split that we see in America today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of those I read recently, it was probably a couple of years ago now, but Hillbilly Elegy I thought was fascinating. I just finished reading Detroit a couple of months ago as well, and that was really good. And
Do you get time to watch movies? Do you have a favorite movie?
I do. I'm gonna go very old school with my favorite film. I, for whatever reason, I really enjoy like the original Star Wars trilogy.
You do.
I couldn't tell you why, but I think just growing up, that was what we watched. So, yeah, usually an old one, but they're some of my favorites.
Do you get excited for the ones coming out?
I do. I'm excited to go see. I think we're in episode 9 now. So when that comes out, yeah, it's been fun to see Disney play with it and explore it a little bit more. I was glad that they were the ones that bought it and that there's a lot of heart clearly being put into some of these films.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been fun.
And you kind of told me before the interview started that you watch a lot of TV shows now.
Lots of free time.
Anything that's your favorite? Anything that you've been binging on lately?
I think a couple of things off of it. I just finished watching You probably a couple weeks ago. That was all over Netflix, and it was super popular right after, I think, the New Year kind of hit. And terrifying how much your social media can tell random strangers about you. I am very freaked out by that, and it's confirmed that I am very glad that I have a lot of privacy settings. So I think that's been good, and I've been really into documentaries recently. So watched some very random documentaries that I just watched one, what was it, recently? Watched Audrey and Daisy. That was great. I would highly recommend. And then The 13th. That was really great. Looking at the 13th Amendment and mass incarceration. So that's been fascinating.
Okay.
Yes.
What about music? Do you have a favorite artist or a genre of music?
I will listen to most things. I tend towards country a little bit more. Though, yeah, I'm not picky with it. I think the only thing I actively avoid is either heavy rap or or like really crazy metal. That is not my thing. But yeah, typically I'll veer towards country or a little more pop or something a little bit softer.
Okay. If you had to pick a person in history that you would like to have coffee with, get to know them better, living or dead, who would you choose and why?
Oh, you know, those are always the big questions, right? I think one that always comes to mind. Should I think about this for a minute?
Sure.
I think right now, living would certainly be, I'd really love to have coffee with Kate Middleton.
Okay.
I think she's fascinating. I think it's such a unique role to be in, where you sit in this place of obviously influencing policy and influencing a lot of different aspects of people's lives, but you really hold no formal power in that capacity. And so I think particularly my role as I look after this is going to be quite a bit of influencing that authority. And so I think she is someone who we see wield that very uniquely. So I think she would just be really interesting to talk to. I also just really love the British royal family. So getting to hang out with her for an afternoon would just be really, really fun. I think one of my friends and I joke, semi-seriously, I think, that one of our biggest regrets when we studied abroad, there's a group of us studying in Bath, which is where the Royal Nanny School is. And that we did not use that 16 weeks to just go to nanny school and apply to be the royal nannies afterwards. But I think it would be really interesting. And just you have to adapt so much of your life to living how they want you to. making that transition, and how do you learn to do that, and what does that kind of life in Buckingham Palace look like?
The question was about getting coffee, but I guess you'll have to get tea.
We'll get tea. Yes. We'll get high tea. And I think you get longer than just a coffee date then.
Yeah. Do you have any pet peeves you want to share with us?
Arizona drivers.
Oh.
It is one of my biggest frustrations coming from driving in Chicago and just the Midwest in general, that they're just really slow here. And I almost feel like it's more dangerous sometimes because they're not as quite in control of their cars or as aware of what's going on. And so it's a lot more incumbent on us as the other drivers to just be careful of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's been one of my biggest pet peeves since
moving here. Especially when it rains and then they have no idea what to do.
No, they have no idea what to do. I don't understand it. It's not like it's snowing. Mm. It's literally raining and it's not even going to freeze.
Mm.
But... So Arizona drivers are a slight pet peeve of mine.
All right. So you told us that you're going to go back to Republic Services. Mm-hmm. Do you know your particular role, or is it going to be a continuation of your...
It'll be a continuation of what I was in recently. So I'll be continuing and going back and working on their business transformation team and starting there.
Okay. And what do you see yourself doing 10 years from now?
10 years from now, ideally, I think there's a couple different things. I would love... to long-term be in probably more community engagement role or something within that space, hopefully for a food company. I just am really passionate about working for, I think, someone in the food industry. It's not typically an industry that hires a ton of MBAs, but I think being in that space is super fascinating to me, and in particular, just my background has been a lot of global food security issues, and I think we don't often talk about the fact that there's food insecurity right here at home, and that a lot of communities across the United States struggle with just kind of hunger issues still, and I think there's a lot of challenges that we can address through kind of, or at least companies can come in and partner with communities, and they're not the sole answer. But I think you need a lot more public-private collaboration around some of these things. So ideally working in a community engagement or CSR-type role for a food company would be great. So yeah, in profession, that's what I'd love to be doing.
You also told me you were part of the Net Impact Club. Mm-hmm. So do you want to take a couple of minutes just to tell us a little bit about what's coming up in Net Impact?
Thanks. Yeah, that'd be great. So we're doing a few things. This is actually going to be a pretty busy spring for us. We've got a couple of things in the next month that are super exciting. We're working with the school sustainability. They're hosting a lecture anyways as part of their sustainability series with the former McDonald's VP of CSR and sustainability. And then he's actually going to come out with us afterwards for about an hour or so for just kind of more casual conversation, networking. So that's our think and drink on February 25th. And then looking to kind of the end of March, we're going to do our second annual networking night, which was something we did in fall of 2017 and was super exciting. I think we brought about 90 students and almost 25 or 30 professionals together and gave them the opportunity to really engage with students who are passionate about the CSR sustainability space, as well as companies that are really active in that. So we had everything from TPI Composites was there to Cisco to... a number of ASU representatives were there, and we're hoping that it will be as successful this year. So that'll be March 27th. Save the date. It's not on WPC Connect yet.
What about the international program that you were talking about? Can you give us more about what's coming up?
Yeah, so that is ever-changing. This year we had Japan, which was incredibly exciting to see go off successfully. We sent 16 students, including myself, back in October and with two of our staff, and it was a phenomenal experience. I would highly recommend it. And looking to the coming school year for our first years and the next class, we're hoping to have probably three opportunities. Japan is currently open for registration, so if students are interested, it will once again be going over fall break, so October, mid-October this year, And again, probably following a fairly similar format of company visits mixed with cultural opportunities, some free time for students to explore Tokyo on their own and kind of surrounding areas. And that will be, yes, that's currently open for registration on the Study Abroad website. Beyond that, we're hoping to launch a winter break program to Costa Rica, and then we're hoping to potentially bring the Peru program back as well. There's and build kind of a little bit more of a formal partnership with the business school in Peru around that, and we're hoping that that will lead to some more kind of long-lasting relationships there. And then Costa Rica will hopefully be on the books in a little while, but we're super excited to see just kind of more opportunities for our students and seeing trips that are a little more focused on different aspects that might be of interest to them, whether that's if you're looking for a networking opportunity, if you're looking for kind of a deeper dive into a topic, or looking to actually kind of do some on-the-ground consulting work, or simply looking for a little bit more of a kind of thematic focus in your trip. I think we're hoping to cover multiple bases next year.
Right. So you have any advice for people who might be pursuing their MBA at WP Carey, who might have just gotten in their admits and they're getting ready for their MBA to start?
Mm-hmm. I think a couple of things that I think we've hopefully all learned. I think one of the big pieces I took away is the grades don't matter. Mm-hmm. I think you're in school with a lot of very smart, high-achieving folks already. Your grades really don't matter, because it's about what are you taking away from it? What are you learning from this experience? Your professors and your classmates are here to support you through that. I think that's been one of my favorite aspects of WPC, is that it's a very collaborative, not competitive environment, which is fun to see as a business school. And the other piece is get to know your classmates. Become friends, invest in them, and don't worry about the pre-work. It's not that bad. Enjoy it. Take some time before you start.
Yeah, definitely. They'll need that.
Yes.
They're in for the long haul, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're done, how would you like your peers to remember you?
A good friend, and then someone... Yeah, I think that and that we... Yeah, I think a good friend... Honest, and I'm pretty proud of the international programs. I think that was one of my favorite parts of the program, has been to see a tangible change in it.
This is kind of the end of the episode. You want to give out your email address or anywhere that you're active on social media so that people can get in touch with you if they're more interested in the things you talked about?
Yeah, so feel free to reach out on email. It's zoe.griparis@asu.edu, and I think my name's in the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, otherwise, yeah, feel free to reach out on LinkedIn as well if you've got any questions, or really anywhere. Yeah, so WhatsApp, totally fine.
All
right. Thanks so much, Shohit.
So that's, yeah, I wanted to thank you as well for coming in and doing this with us, so that people can get to know you better.
Yep, this is great. Thank you so much for doing this for so many of our classmates.
Yep.
This has been really exciting to get to learn a lot about folks.
Yep, thank you all for listening. I'll see you in the next one. Goodbye. Zoe is a very caring and loving person, and I'm sure it reflects in the way she handles people at her workplace as well. All the best to you in this new chapter of your life. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening and supporting us. We are available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and other podcast platforms. I will see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.